Hey, welcome back. And what a welcome it is to be back on the road with the All Over the Map family, chasing them as they continue to chase the world after a little bit of a unexpected hiatus there. Welcome back, Michael and Caitlin Domner.
Hey, Paul. It's great to be back. It's been a while since we chatted. So,
it
yeah,
has
glad
been.
To,
it's,
glad to be here.
It's been like 9 months or something, and the whole world is beginning to think, oh, that was just a wonderful dream. It lasted for a while, but sooner or later, they got sucked back in. And you did actually get, I'm sorry to say, let's just touch on it, sucked back in by some rather serious things here. Your mother, Michael's mother, developed breast cancer, and that's what really derailed this whole thing.
Our original plan was just to go back for like 60 days for November and December to be there for the holidays through Thanksgiving and Christmas with the family. And just kind of during that time, my mom got a call from the doctor and said, we need to talk very soon, which is never a good thing from a doctor.
No.
And so unfortunately, it was breast cancer. And they caught it early, but they knew that she was going to have to go through chemotherapy, followed by potentially radiation and surgery and all that. So we kind of made the call. We've been flexible. We had planned on being back over here where we are now, kind of in around the Mediterranean by February or March. But because we were flexible and able to be there, we decided to stick around and support my mom through that and be there. I mean, she had every other week she had doctor's appointments, and chemo is just rough on anybody at any age. But we were so blessed to be able to be flexible enough to stay local and support her through that time. So it's a precious time that I'm glad that we had, and I wouldn't have spent it any other way.
But for many, that might have derailed the trip forever. I mean, God forbid things didn't turn it, because she is now cancer free after she was declared.
She is, yeah. So I think it was after 6 months, 5 months of chemo and then surgery. And then now she's kind of has monthly treatments now. But after the surgery, they said that the chemotherapy had done its job and she's cancer free. So it is really the best possible outcome from it. And we're just continuing to pray for her health. And as we move forward from here, she's doing very well now.
Well, our prayers and thoughts go with you, and congratulations to get back out on the road. I guess during the time, Caitlin's mother had some hip surgeries. I mean, it was like, everybody, let's load it all up, two of them. Yeah. Let's do all this, right?
Caitlin's mom was like, well, if you're sticking around in town for 6 months, let's get both my hips replaced.
Yeah, let's just get that done with right now. Here.
Basically a bionic woman now. She's good to go.
That's what derails most of us in life. I'm going to do lots of things when I'm young, but it's the unexpected. A sickness, an illness. Often at my age, it's taking care of an aging parent. I've been through that. Most of my parents passed away some time ago. But, you know, that really can derail all your dreams and ambitions, at least for a while. It doesn't have to do it forever. But unfortunately, when it derails it at all, is it hard to get the train back on the track again here?
The momentum is so hard to build back up for sure.
Right.
And I think like one of the best parts about going through that experience was, for me, it was so confirming for the way that we're doing life and what we do. I know a lot of folks, could be like, well, it's a reason to stick around and stay at home. But I know so many people who work for 30, 40, 50 years. And they're like, once I retire, I'm going to go do all these things. And it was just confirmation. Once you retire, your health may not be as good. You left.
I love to share some of my own. I'm riding along vicariously with you guys, like everybody else that tunes into this adventure here. And you remind me of my parents' life. My dad was a successful car executive, had money, had paid the house and all that kind of stuff. I think my video just went away here. And he kept saying, when I retire, that's when the party's going to start. Before that, he worked like a dog. I mean, he was gone before I got up as a kid. He came home late at night. He worked 6 days a week. Yeah. Last few years, he was traveling on the road 5 days a week. We didn't see a lot of dad. He really put effort in, like so many men did in that generation. He gave his soul to the company store, as they used to say. He gave it all. And when he retired, that's when the party was going to start. Unfortunately, my mother had a double whammy. She developed Parkinson's, and then she was hit by lightning and lived. and not many people survived that, but it just left her incapacitated and disabled, both of those, for the rest of her life. So instead of traveling the world, he traveled back and forth to doctors for the rest of their lives and became her sole caregiver. I don't have any brothers or sisters or anything. So it felt, and he willingly did that. He took on that burden. But I thought to myself, he for 20 years, he kept saying, I got 5 years, I got 4 years, I got 1 year. And then, I didn't know this was going to happen. And all of that went out the window. They didn't go anywhere or do anything. All the places he was going to see, all the things he was going to do, none of that happened. The biggest thing he finally did was move out here to be closer to me, and that gave him, they lived out in Palm Springs, and he got some renaissance and some enjoyment of warm weather in the winter because they were in Michigan. So believe me, I grew up seeing that model. That was the model I grew up with. You worked your butt off for those final few years. That's what it's going to be. And I have a few friends that have been fortunate enough to do that. And I keep wondering how easily that could be derailed, though, at our age, and how missed opportunities don't come back again. You get one shot sometimes to do these things here. One window. The window opens up, and you got to jump through it. So what do you feel, Caitlin? You're smiling. You must be happy back on the road here again.
You know, it's so funny because you asked, like, wasn't there an inertia? And I was like, yes, there was, right? So being in Bali, I kind of had that spiritual awakening and reconnection to purpose. And one of
you were ready to stay there. That could have been the forever home we were looking for here. That
Bali, yes. Bali will always be home. It's a part of my heart. We will probably spend time there even when we settle back.
Where the
down.
Trees all have spirits and they all talk to you and everything here.
So beautiful. Yes, I love it. I'm planning on spending the month around my 40th birthday will be in Bali. I don't know where we will be before or after there, but I'm going back to Bali.
All right.
I found, I launched this new business coaching brand around what we called the Ecstatic Way.
And I saw that you signed on via Zoom, obviously, here. And I thought, Ecstatic Sales is coming. I thought, wait a minute, this must be the wrong people. Ecstatic Sales. This isn't just regular sales. I want to have ecstatic experiences here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's Ecstatic Business School, Ecstatic Sales, Ecstatic.
The Ecstatic Way is kind of the overall.
EcstaticWay.com was born, and we just started really pouring a lot of our time, energy, and resources into getting that thing birthed and grown up enough that we could go back on the road. And I knew, made that decision when we decided to stay. I was like, okay, I've got 6 months to get this thing.
Kind of like about the time it takes to give birth to a baby, kind of in that same genre. Yeah,
exactly. Out of the crying through the night phase and toddling on its own. And so it was really intense. And what I realized is it was very easy for me to fall back into some like workaholism that I had before we left. That was one of the reasons we decided to hit the road, was because I wasn't good at setting personal boundaries on work. Like, I love what I do. It's very fulfilling, and I love the people I work with. And so it's hard when
it's consuming. Just in one spot. It's consuming being an entrepreneur. It's consuming taking care of aging parents. It's consuming with kids. Life consumes you. And suddenly you wake up and you go, I'm reminded of that. So you're not old enough to remember this, but I remember the song from my generation was, I think it was, might have been Harry Nilsson, somebody like that. And it was Cats in the Cradle. And it's about him singing to his son. His son saying, come on, Dad, let's go play the ball.
Well, to his father. Yeah,
not now, but later. We're going to have a good time then, son. I promise we're going to have a good time then. And then it switches around, and now he's retired waiting for his son to come back from college. Hey, Dad, can I have the keys? I got to go. But when I get back, we're going to have a good time then. It's always in the future sometime here. So
cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
So I kind of got head down, blinders on, and Michael was like, we're getting back on the road, and was really the driving force to doing that. I would have been probably content sticking around for at least another 6 months, because it's always just a little bit more revenue, just a few more clients, just a couple more systems. It's this sort of this illusory like success on the horizon. If we could just get a little bit bigger, then we can afford to travel easier. Then I can spare the time. And so I had fallen right back into that mindset that you were just mentioning. That's why I was smiling. I was like, yep, I am intimately familiar with how that siren song
Yeah, goes. It really is. It calls to you. Over here, look over here. I know you want to go over there, but look over here.
Yeah.
And the priest and you dashed on the rocks or whatever. So that brings us perfectly to where you're at. You're at the home of the siren song. This is where Homer's Odyssey. I'm gonna geek out a little bit here and show my overeducation, but
we've been doing that for the last 30 days. Like everything that we passed, we're like, yo, that was Socrates.
That's Plato. That's Aristotle.
That's Plato's Academy that I saw. Like just all the stuff. Every time I drive through the city, I'm like,
yeah, totally the Acropolis. Out, yeah. You're in the birth. What I consider, many consider, kind of the birth of Western civilization. So much of what we take for granted, the way we think. The way our outlook, our philosophy, maybe even our laws, Plato's Republic and all this kind of stuff, all of this, it laid the foundation for Western civilization as a whole. Mm-hmm. You're there at this cradle of Western civilization. What's that like to be in Greece?
So amazing. We've just done the first month in Athens. We're going to start touring the islands next, but it's been a history binge. We did Corinth, where St. Paul wrote his two epistles. They have
St. Paul, for Pete's sake. I mean, was walking around there.
Yeah. We literally saw the shipyard where he would have gotten off the boat in Corinth. Like, it's just incredible to see these stories that we think of as ancient history and to be connected to them in such a way. Mm-hmm. And then even older than that, I mean, we went to Mycenae and it's 1700 BC is when it was founded. And it was
their
golden age. And it is mind-boggling to think, you know, 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, these civilizations were here.
And giants, and Alexander the Great, Plato and Aristotle, people that just became, for a while, this is where Western civilization started. I'll tell you what I'd find the most interesting, because I'm a storyteller by heart, obviously. This is what I do, and I love hearing your stories and hearing you tell stories. This is really where storytelling at least was formalized. I'm sure it's since the dawn of time people have told stories. But the Greeks figured out this three-act structure, beginning, middle, and end. You set up the problem, then there's the struggle, and then there's some resolution. Ta-da, there's a moral to the story here. All those Greek mythology.
Theater was literally created here. Yeah.
Theater was created there.
We just
got
to see some Greek plays out under the stars at the foot of the Acropolis and going like, ah, like, theater was born here, and we're getting to enjoy it. It's, it's been a series of just bucket list. Like,
how do you see Greece without it turning into the bus tour? I got to go see this. I got to go see the Acropolis. I got to go see, there's a long, you could come up with long laundries, particularly if you're a history geek like me. And then I can't miss any of them. And so all you're doing is just, you're on the greatest hits tour. You know, you drive by there. That was St. Paul. That was Aristotle. That was Plato. Boom, 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 boom. Got it.
Yeah.
Saw it. Yeah.
And our kids would probably say that's all we do is go and check off these items, right? But if you ask the kids, like, that's all we ever did in Greece was go and see, walk through temples.
Another one of those.
Like, not another Mayan pyramid. And then we got to Asia. Not another Buddhist rock.
Yeah, please.
Like, not another Greek temple. Like, it's
Our kids, we drag them through this. It's terrible.
It doesn't because they're all the same to them. They're not seeped in all that knowledge or history. So to them, it's just another big funny building with big columns that's falling down. And like, why is that any different than?
And one of the best things is we've been going through the Greek myths, and Cora is a huge fan of mythology in general. But she's read all of like the Percy Jacksons and all of these things that are kind of brought Greek myths back to the consciousness of kids of today. And so she's enjoying it more than the boys, I would say. There's still an element of like, don't want to walk through another temple, but she because she's read stories about Zeus and Hera and Aphrodite and all these gods and goddesses, she kind of, there's a little bit more interest for her.
And the whole notion of fables, you know, the Greek the Aesop's fables, there's a meaning to this, there's a takeaway from this, and the moral of the story is, boys and girls, don't be Icarus. Don't fly too high. Don't get too full of yourself and think you can go too far or, you know, yeah, there's just these yeah. images that we have. So what's the fable here? What's the, it's probably too early to figure out. You're still in the second act. The first act was getting there yeah. and the conflict and the drama and can we get there? Now you're in the second act. You're living it and going through all this. The third act is when you finally, now I see what the moral of the story is.
Yeah. We're not there yet. it's been really fascinating. I mean, you know, you talk about like, how do we avoid it just becoming like this check off the list and doing the
one big bus
tour?
Okay, over there is the 1400s. Over there,
right. Listening to the audio tour on our phone or in our earbuds. And for us, it's been time, right? So we're able to spend 30 days in Athens.
That's a key.
And we do a lot of just wandering. I mean, I'll take the boys and we'll just go drive for a couple hours through Athens. And that's how we found Plato's Academy. Like, we were just driving through. I was like, hey, there's a park over here. There's a green spot on the map. Let's go to the park so the boys can get out and run around for a little bit. And we get out and there's a plaque that says, oh, this is the ancient site of Plato's Academy. And they have like these ruins.
And what's it like when you see Plato's Academy? Is it next to the Kentucky Fried Chicken? Is it next to Plato's Playground or something? I mean, one of the things that disappointed me sometimes when I go see famous sites is it's in the middle of just some urban area, and there's all this tourist tchotchke stuff all surrounding it. Hey, get your free Fatima statues here, you know.
Right. One thing that I've appreciated is that it's not so like the Acropolis and the Agora, like right in the center of Athens, are a little bit like that, right? Like there's vendors that set up along all the walkways
exactly.
that sell little tchotchkes that, that kind of thing, little magnets, little dangles, bangles, whatever. And
which I bought all the time. Whenever I go, I have my own tchotchkes I bring home.
We can't help ourselves. We end up buying way too many as well.
Yeah.
But one thing I like is that, like, for example, Plato's Academy, it's literally just in the middle of a kid's park off, maybe two miles from the center of where the Parthenon is. And there's nothing around it. You wouldn't even know it unless you see these plaques at the park. Like, it's not a huge tourist trap. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed that, just wandering through, finding these little gems like that and seeing them and realizing that, you know, this is just the city is built up around it.
Yeah.
Kind of naturally.
On top of it, layer after layer.
Layers and layers on top of it. Yeah.
There's the ancient Greeks, then there's the Romans, then there's the Franks, then there's the Venetians. Like, it's
then
just
the Ottomans. Then.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ottomans, right?
It's
the Ottomans.
This entire archaeological lasagna of history.
Exactly.
And you have to actually pay to do an evaluation of your property before you can build on it here in Greece. And so they have to check for, I guess, museum quality relics, because I'm pretty sure there's no.
Because if you dig anywhere in the dirt, you're going to find something, but maybe it's not museum quality here. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But if they do that, the government just buys it from you and you're out of luck. Like, that's it. We've got a site and you have to go find a new place to build. Like, it's pretty crazy. And that is something that I've noticed is, like, the Greeks do have sort of a live in the past feel. Like, I don't feel like there's a lot that Greeks look forward to in the future. It's not like a young country like America. We haven't, like, in our perspective, like, we've just begun. Like, we're still proving ourselves. Like, we're still cutting our teeth in the big boys game. Greece had its golden age 400 BC.
We are
2400 years from this country's like peak.
Right.
And it's interesting to see how, like, to be in a space where there are people who probably could track their ancestors back to that time frame. They don't move. This is the same land that they have lived on since time immemorial.
Right.
And they know their heroes, and their heroes are in the past. And it's just, it's a very different spirit to the country than.
And what's it like today? Because Greece is one of those economies today. Greece has struggled since World War II. They went through a civil war between the left and the right, between the communists and the non-communists. Mm-hmm. They've had dictatorships. They've had all sorts of, you know, horrendous. The birth of democracy has not been a very democratic place since World War II. And I don't know what it's like now. I suspect it is more democratic, but it's also always listed as one of the economies that's ready to go bust and burst and fall apart on inflation and massive overspending, government overspending. And they're always getting bailed out, and they're always one crisis away from disaster, it seems. What's that current feeling like there now?
Yeah, I just, it's, It is.
I mean, is there tension in the air? Is there anxiety? Is there,
there are occasional unrest. We've had a couple, like driven past a couple of rallies where people are holding signs and protesting something or other in Greek. We don't really know always what it is.
What it is.
It's all Greek to us.
It's all Greek to me. There, we had to work that one in there somewhere.
I think the big thing is like, there's graffiti everywhere. Like graffiti just covers every modern
social graffiti. Commentary is in the graffiti.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Over.
Power to the something.
And,
yeah, right.
And the graffiti goes back. I have shots of people graffitiing, like carving into stone in the 1920s. Lord Byron wrote his name on the Temple of Poseidon. Like, it's just, it's an interesting thing.
That, I've always said that's an interesting human urge, that you do find historical figures that when they had to do that.
Achilles forward.
Lord Byron, who wrote all these great things, he had to write his name and etch it like any kid
carved
would.
Carved his name into a stone at Poseidon's temple here here in Greece. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I've talked to some of my Greek friends, because that was one of the reasons we came here first, was I actually have quite a few Greek clients and friends, and so I've gotten to chat with actual locals, and the way their perspective is, Greeks aren't hardworking, but there just isn't really a spirit of expansion. Like, nobody's very entrepreneurial. It's sort of I'm going to do what I need to do in order to get by. And I'm wondering if it has to do with that backwards looking versus forward looking approach to life
Maybe it's something more deep. Your dear friend Charlie Hedges does a show with us years ago. He had a guy on who wrote a book, Dinner with Epicurus, another one of the classic philosophers and Epicurean delight and everything here. And wherever Epicurus lived, maybe he lived on the island of Epicurus, or I don't know, wherever he lived, and so he lived on some island somewhere. This was his hero. And he goes, and I think he was Greek, maybe. I don't remember the backstory of the book. But The guy goes and spends like a year on this little island in the middle of nowhere and learns basically to slow down and smell the roses and enjoy things for what they are.
Epicurean lifestyle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And to get over this notion of, I got to do this, I got to go there, I got to build that. It's like, why? It's sort of like, oh, I'm sorry, my video won't stay on here. But it's sort of like that idea of, you know, I don't know, the story I've heard told a million different ways. Some American goes to some beautiful beach in some middle of some Polynesia or something here and says, wow, this would be a perfect place to live. They say, come on, you can join us. Well, to do that, I got to make a living. So I'm going to build a hotel. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get investors and everything. And after the end of the story is, and why are you going to do this? So I can basically sit on the beach like you do and do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know,
like, well, I don't own a hotel and I'm already doing it.
I'm already doing it. You don't have to do that. You can just sort of go there. And maybe that's the mentality. Why go through this whole arc? Just live on the beach and eat cheese and drink wine. And
But I don't get the sense that they are like satisfied. Like, they still do want to live better. They still complain about not making enough money.
Yeah. A lot of a sense that I've gotten is that a lot of them are waiting for the government to come and change and come and save them. Like, and a couple of them that I spoke with were like, we keep voting the same people, like nothing ever happens from the government. And we're all frustrated and angry about it, but we keep voting the same people in. So,
and they have like most European countries, they're on the edge of Europe. They're kind of in that transition zone between East and West, where Greece always has been there. And it seems to be kind of, they go through their socialist phase, they go through their social liberal phase, they go through their right-wing dictatorial response, and they go back and forth. Mm-hmm. That thing you sort of experience in South America, this flip-flop between the two extremes. Where's that happy
pendulum
middle? Yep. Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, you're there, you're in Greece, you're back on the road. We're just amazed that you got back up on the horse and started riding again here. Couple weeks left there.
So we're going to be probably another month in Greece between island hopping for a couple weeks and then up north in Thrace, Thessaloniki for a couple weeks. And then we're going to go over to Istanbul for kind of October.
I was going to say, you got to go to Istanbul, the original Constantinople. That was the center of the world for a long time.
Right.
Then the center of the Islamic world for an even longer time. So you've got this kind of clash of Christianity and Islam there. Yeah.
Yeah, the history and the melting pot nature, like you said, East and West literally colliding there for the last 2,000 years is going to be.
Well, and the giant Greek Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, St. Sophia's, the basilica there that was, when they finally fell, was turned into the world's biggest mosque. It went from being like the biggest Christian church to now the biggest mosque.
Who owns it at that moment?
What we're going to call it, what God we're going to pray to in this building at that moment here.
Yeah.
Well, we were praying that you were going to get through all your troubles. We were praying that you're going to get back on the road and we follow the adventure again. So this is season 3, folks, all over the Map family. Are you still looking for forever or are you just enjoying the moment? That's my last question.
I feel like Greece, I don't know that we ever thought Greece was going to be our forever home. So right now we're just enjoying it, but we are like that's still something that we're keeping.
You
an
can
eye
see
out
it over the horizon. There's still some because you went through these kind of lofty images of, I always say Bali High or something. This paradise lost. This magical place, and then you know you'd find these little islands. You say, well, maybe it's not quite that perfect. You know, it's kind of slow and it's kind of isolated and something here. Maybe we can't be quite that far out or something. And then you fell in love with a couple of farms in the middle of nowhere. I remember there was one in Bali. You don't have a farm in Bali. You live on the beach in Bali, but you were going to go up in the highlands or something there. Yeah. So there's always that postcard in your head. And a couple of times you stumble and said, that looks pretty much like the postcard I was looking at. But what's that one over there? You know,
exactly. Yeah. There's always a couple more places to check out. But, we still have the postcard in our head. We haven't found the perfect match yet.
Right.
But we're looking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think at this point, what I'm looking for now is like retreat locations. So for the business school, we have quarterly retreats. So the one in January is going to be in Crete.
How American! So you're just gonna build a hotel on the beach so that you can do nothing on the beach. You're gonna find a way to make money so that you can do nothing
from the travel.
So
we're gonna bring our people to us, and then probably next summer we'll be in Croatia. So. It's mostly like giving other people an opportunity to come and experience our travel with us.
We've talked about doing it for like homeschooling families as well, right? Like doing an on-site location where you come and just enjoy history with homeschooling.
Michael's
families.
Academy, Caitlin's Academy, you got Plato's Academy there. Why not go back to this open learning style? That the last thing I always have of Greek is everything seems to be outdoors because, of course, they couldn't build buildings back 400 BC. So everything was outdoor amphitheaters. Supposedly Plato, I think, taught in like an open.
Well, the weather's pretty perfect year round is the other reason.
Yeah, right. So everything is outdoors. The festivals, all the stories are outdoors. And the learning was you just walked among the fields and did all the Socratic method where he just endlessly asks you questions, figured this out. Well, it sounds like you're figuring it out. You're back on the road. Congratulations. I guess I'm being remiss. How do the kids take for it? They're like, oh, here we go again. Or are they like, yippee?
It depends. They go back and forth. We had a rough day today because we went to the Acropolis. So they were all like, we woke up at 7 a.m., which we've been sleeping in until like 10 because...
Because it's Greece.
It's Greece, yeah. But our work is like from 4 p.m. till midnight here. So we've been sleeping in. So we woke him up at the crack of dawn at 7 a.m. and dragged him up to the top of a mountain. And so we had a pretty miserable day today. So that may be coloring our perspective of it. But they have their good days and their bad days for sure.
Yeah, I think Cora was looking forward to Greece because of her love of mythology. And the boys are really done with school. Like we put them in school from January to June, and they're like, "Yeah, no, none of that nonsense."
Going to school for 8 hours a day.
Oh, yuck! Who kids do this all day long? Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, so now they're back to doing homeschool. It takes them a record 66 minutes to get through all of the work.
Not a minute longer because there's things to do.
And we're going
to
be the next couple weeks are on islands at beaches, and then 2 weeks up in Thessaloniki is going to be at the beach as well. So I feel like they're going to appreciate it more here once we stop climbing mountains to see ancient rocks and give them some beach time.
Right there you go. All right, well, we'll ride along. We're going to talk to you in a couple of weeks here and we'll catch up. You'll still be in Greece. You'll still be soaking in the stories and the civilization and the third leg of this journey is going to be what, mostly Europe and the Mediterranean? And
it's actually going to be Mediterranean, Africa. And then we're going to do Europe. We're probably going to hit India somewhere in the middle there too. But from here, we're basically going to head south into Africa. So Turkey, Israel, like we talked about, Egypt, yeah. and then go explore Africa for the next 8 months to 2 years.
Who knows? You're getting into the good stuff here. This is the stuff we've all read about and heard about here before. The Middle East, the Mediterranean, Africa, the birthplace of humankind here. You're going back to your root. You're going really deep into the roots here of mankind and Western civilization.
We saw 1700 BC in Mycenae, but places in Africa way before that.
So 70,000 BC.
70,000 BC. I only had one experience going to Ireland as a teenager, back to my little sort of birth where my tribe came from a couple generations ago, and I was struck by the fact as an American. You'd walk down the street, oh, that's from the 1700s, that's from the 1400s, that's from the 1800s. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you walk around Southern California, that's from 50 years ago, and we think it's ancient.
Right. That's from 1955. Ooh, that's old.
That's really old. Wow, 1956.
Yeah, that's the oldest thing around.
That's an old car. That's an old building. We better tear that down or put that in a museum or something here. So, whole different mentality. Well, thank you so much, Michael and Caitlin, for letting us ride along. We look forward to season three as you explore the roots of Western civilization here and the roots of mankind, maybe, as you go back into Africa and find the earliest Homo sapiens walking the earth, doing what you're doing now. They did that for necessity. They walked the earth in search of things. You're doing it in search of something. We're not sure what it is anymore.
We've been looking for our forever home, but instead we're going to the home that's been
forever.
Forever.
Ooh, I like that. All right, on that note, we'll leave it right there, folks. Come back and join us again as we continue to pick up the journey and follow the All Over the Map family as they now head out on Season 3 right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine, Field Applied Innovation Center.